We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're heading into Memorial Day weekend. We're looking at the next week's two-star pitchers and potential pickups for this weekend here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. And Todd, we got a busy week to look ahead to next week. You said before we got started, what, 101 games next week?
101 games currently on the schedule, subject to change. Three of which are doubleheaders, which, you know, obviously weren't scheduled. Well, I know maybe they were after the, I don't know if they're all rainouts. They could have been makeups, but makeup from the first week. But, yeah, Memorial Day, not everybody's playing, but most of the teams are playing, which makes it a very, very busy week.
Yes, it will be a busy one, and we'll do our best to get you prepared for that. But I'm kind of wondering, Todd, before we get too deep into things today, do you think Memorial Day is like an important mile marker? Is that kind of overblown in fantasy? Like, is now a time to really dig into where you are in certain categories, or – so that may be a little overblown.
No, actually, it's not overblown at all. Now, the season starting a week later, we're close enough. Now, what I've noticed on Memorial Day is, if I can explain this properly, the top to bottom distributions of standings are representative of how they'll be at the end of the season. What I mean by that is if you prorate the numbers, they will come out to logically be what they'll be at the end of the year. Early on, the top teams are just crushing and the bottom teams are terrible. We're at the point now where prorating the stats gets you kind of close. The teams will shuffle within. But I'm saying, you know, if you prorate and you get 220 homers, then that'll be about what the winning total is at the end of the year. And the best way to tell is looking at the ratios, the top to bottom ratios. Again, we'll shuffle in between, but they won't move much, which tells me we can start doing the old category math, right? I could gain 4 points here. I could lose 2 points here. Of course, you know, you can't just prorate it because other teams are making moves, but I feel more comfortable trying to figure out strength and weakness within categories after Memorial Day.
Interesting. Well, I'll say that our buddy Rob Silver, who I mentioned this a few times, I think he was in like 11th place on Memorial Day when he, in his league, when he went on to win the overall. So yeah, it's not the be all end all right now.
But no. All I'm saying is the standing, you can trust the gaps in the standings. I don't know that you trust the teams. I mean, and there are studies that'll show that, you know, X amount of teams in the top 25%. End up in the top, I mean, and it's better to be higher up in the standings now, but by no means is it time to, you know, all right, it's football time. No. So much movement can be made up. And especially because not a lot of offensive stats were, you know, garnered in the first quarter of the season. And offense is picking up now. So the gaps weren't as, you know, the gaps are manageable. Offense is picking up, and I tweeted out a little chart earlier today. It's not because homers are going up. Strikeouts are down. BABIP is up. I think it's a little premature to say batters are making an adjustment, but one could argue, looking at the numbers, batters are making an adjustment. I want to continue to see this trend before you can definitively say something of that nature. But strikeouts are down. BABIP is up, which kind of tells me, well, first of all, it tells me that there's a lot of position players pitching, right?
Does seem like that in recent days.
You know, the same day that Major League Baseball announced they're extending the 14th pitcher allowed in your roster, teams went out there and used at least three that I happened to catch watching, at least three position players pitching. And to me, it's kind of a push-me-pull-me. I mean, the extra pitchers are there so pitchers can pitch, not so that I think I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm overseeing Albert Pujols pitch. I'm overseeing it. I don't care. Burn your worst relief arm. Send it down to the minors. I don't want to see Andrelton Simmons, my best defensive player, exposing himself throwing 45 miles an hour. You know, I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, it kind of bastardizes the game a little bit.
Yeah, I
don't really want to see it either, but yeah, like if you had like Trevor Story and JD Martinez, things have flipped around in a hurry and they can still flip around pretty quickly. So don't get too discouraged. But at the same time, like Todd said, maybe it's time to take inventory of certain teams. Let's get into the Stake League pickups from last night before we get into two start starters. William Contreras of Atlanta was the top pickup for $13. I was kind of bummed I didn't get him. But in the end, I wasn't all that close. I had $7 out of 100. Went for 13, and now that he's playing between catcher, left field, DH,
yeah,
looks like he's a pretty much a must roster guy across all formats. This is only a one catcher league, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good season to be a Contreras, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, I got Danny Jansen too. So again, this is only a one catcher league, but Jansen's been red hot, and so I think guys like Jansen and William Contreras, they cleared the bar for me, so I was happy to I wasn't happy to lose out on Contreras, but I will look to add him this weekend a few spots.
And I know this league doesn't lend itself to the streaming catchers, just because it's $100 fab, not $1,000, right?
Yeah, only $100.
Right. So, I mean, so you know, continue to get $1 catchers. I mean, if you do it 10 times over the course of the year, you've got 10% of your budget. You do that in $1,000, you've used up 1% of your budget, right? So it's a little bit better of a strategy to keep trying. You know, in the worst case scenario is the guy's the worst catch in the league, which, you know, this is what the strategy entails. You hope to land on somebody. It's just a little more, I don't see risky, but inefficient to pull off in a 100 fab unit league, because again, one unit is 1/100th as opposed to 1/1000th of your overall budget.
We had four players picked up for exactly $7, kind of random, but Brady Singer for $7. James got Trevor Larnach for $7, JT Brubaker for $7, then Ronzi Contreras for $7. So Ronzi looked pretty good the other day, and looks like he's up to stick in that rotation for now. Doesn't look like a two-start starter this week coming up, but he will get Arizona at home. So that's pretty nice.
The seven, I'm actually not surprised. Someone's reading me. 0 and 5 are kind of the most common. So a lot of people then therefore switched to 1 and 6, ending the bids. Then people began to realize that 1 and 6 were common. So people are starting to use 2/3 and 7 to win the bids. Because if you want to try to, you know, the fab whisperer, if you will, and your bids in 2, 3, or 7, and you've got a good chance of, plus one-ing somebody else.
Mentioned that I grabbed Danny Jansen. He it's one catcher, but two utils, and I dropped, Daniel Vogelback. Easy for me to say. Christopher Morel was picked up for $4. I like that. Jordan Lyles for $3. Then Edwin Rios for $3. Rios has been quietly playing a heck of a lot. So still only against right-handed pitching, but seems like against righties, the Dodgers are kind of making it a priority to get Rios in there.
Yeah, they were a platoon team a few years back. probably to an excess. Some feel that they hurt themselves in the World Series against the Red Sox by over platooning. So they're kind of going back to that way with Rios, and kid can hit, right? I'm not a kid anymore. Guy can hit. And they thought with the DH, he'd be playing a little bit more. And we'll see over the course of the season, injuries here and there. But he is definitely someone that if you can get him on a bench, there are weeks or half weeks where you can use him.
Yeah, he's a guy I like in the NFBC in those half weeks because they got a series of righties due up. I feel like the playing time is there at this point to where you can actually deploy Edwin Rios.
Yeah.
James grabbed Dylan Bundy for three. Matt Barnes was picked up for three. Darren Ruff for two.
Sorry about that Barnes pickup.
Yeah, not so great on Barnes this year. Darren Ruff for two. Nico Horner for two. Harold Ramirez for two. And then Johnny Cueto for a buck.
Yeah.
Not available in this league and probably not in your deeper leagues, but if Aaron Ashby's out there, I'd say go rectify that. Get him rostered. Anybody else kind of on your mind, Fab, this weekend, or is that about covering?
I have not. No, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't really dug too far deep into it. I've been
seems like kind of a lighter week this week.
I mean, we've been talking about it in most of my, not in a ton of NFBC leagues, but in the few that I'm in. I'm in more leagues that are running the NFBC platform, but aren't NFBC. Right, like TGFBI and Razzball and Nerf and that. I'm on more of those leagues than NFBC, but I'm finding the drops are bigger attention than the upstart rookie or upstart Edwin Rios, whoever it might be. I'm looking like I'm stringing together more. Someone so dropped, Bundy. Players of that nature, I'm having more luck nickel and diming those than I am taking a chance on a big guy. We'll see. At some point, all this money I'm saving, I'll probably have to take a splash on a bigger player just to, at some point, but,
Grayson Rodriguez or somebody like this.
Pasquantino.
What the hell is he still doing down? If any needs to be up ASAP.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. There will still be some impact call ups throughout the course of the season. But this is completely off topic. But I happen to realize, humble brag alert. I don't talk about this stuff a lot. I just do my thing. Whatever. I just noticed I've got three cutline teams each in second place, and I forgot about the first Fab period. I forgot about it.
So, I did in Raz Slam.
Yeah, I fill out Raz Slam too. I think I'm in third in my league there. Point being, I'm already starting to look and to see who's available, I'm going to start putting in bids now, so I don't forget the second one. But to be in second, and kind of have the hammer, looking like Clay Holmes. There are some interesting players out there that if I can hang in there. We'll see what happens, but I'm not going to post my rosters. That's not my thing. We'll see. But anyway.
Mentioned Vinny Pasquantino, and he had four extra base hits on Wednesday. So I assume he played a doubleheader. Had seven at bats, two doubles, two homers. So he's now batting .296, .396, .638 slug. So I don't know what the heck the Royals are waiting on, but. He may be among those last wave or among the last wave of guys you actually would feel good about committing a sizable chunk of your fab to.
Yeah.
Real quick, last thing before we get to two start starters, you're doing a Tout Wars Memorial Day mock. I know the Tout Wars or the NFBC is not doing the Memorial Day drafts this year, but fun exercise to do regardless here. You notice any massive shakeups or any real takeaways you want to let us know about?
Well, at least in this particular, it's available on Twitter. I'll get the URL. I know it's a tiny URL. I'm going to get it exact, but it's publicly available. Pitchers, we're just waiting on pitchers even more. So, people wait on the pitchers, whether that's a figment of the room or of the first quarter of the season and how things have played out. I don't know if someone remains a scene, but we're not exactly sure. But yeah, pitching it went a lot. Then the typical run just went bing, bang, boom. But that is what I'm noticing. And I won't go over my team in general, but I will publicly say that I took Byron Buxton in the third round of a 12-team draft.
It seems kind of unlike you.
Yeah. I don't want to make this a gratuitous plug for my site, but in order to help my DFS play, one of the things I've been doing this year is I dusted off my DFS engine where I project each player per day, throw in the salaries and try to figure out stuff like that. But one of the things I'm also doing, I'm posting it for my subscribers. The cut line scoring mentioned earlier is supposed to emulate 5x5. So I'm also taking the line, the projected line that day, and plugging in a cut line scoring so people can use it to help rank in daily leagues in 5x5 because it's supposed to emulate that. And the point being, the long-winded way of saying, Byron Buxton has been the number one ranked batter, over half the time. And it's sometimes against right-handed pitching. And this is kind of having an off year. And I'm making adjustments to expectations too. I think we knew he was good, but this kind of opened my eyes. And if you do one of those, what is it, Steamer 600s? I know Liz used to do it, and I kind of do it too, where you give everybody the same plate appearances to see, rank on skills. I bet Buxton had come out at the top of the list in rotisserie. It just kind of opened my eyes to just how dominant he is when he's healthy. And I don't, mock. I would have done it anyway. One of those, especially a 12-team, give me the numbers now, and if he does get hurt, I'll deal with it later. So it kind of – I don't know if I'll – if it'll – change how I think next year in some drafts. I don't know, but this was a very eye-opening experience to just once again see Buxton at the top of the list.
Interesting. Well, yeah, it looks like Shane McClanahan officially a third rounder, probably higher than that come draft season. Manoah in the fourth round, Pablo Lopez in the fourth. So you guys are only in the fifth round, but interesting stuff, and follow along if you are interested in that. So
yeah,
kind of get an idea of how people are gauging values at this exact moment.
The initial idea was, because of the NFBC doing their second half or second chance league.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do it. And then we have Greg on the RotoWire show, Jeff and I on Monday, and he didn't talk about it. So man, I looked, he didn't have him. Like, that's interesting. So I kind of blow it off. I'm not going to do the draft. And I'm thinking, what do I want to do for a tout table? The heck with it. Let's have it. I wish I'd done that earlier because I didn't give us much time to get done by Memorial Day. But I said, you know what? This will be fun. Social media, it'll be fun. So we rounded up 11 plus a guest. Andrew Lamont got us a guest. And so we're doing fine.
Nice. Well, yeah, I hope everybody out there enjoys their Memorial Day, and be sure to get your lineup set, even if you're, enjoying a day off from work. Be sure to put in the work on your fantasy
team. Early ball, too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Wire-to-wire ball on Monday.
Yeah, so before we get into the two-start starters for Memorial Day week, let's first take a quick break, and we'll throw to a quick word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with Todd Zola, and we're going to be grading next week's two-star pitchers on a 0 to 5 scale, as we always do. Zero meaning we're completely hands-off, not starting him anywhere. 5 meaning, you know, 5 out of 5, start him everywhere. Zach Gallen, I think, reached that 5 level again. I like to reserve that 5 for the tip-top of the crop for each week, but I think Gallen has worked his way back into that very tip-top.
Yeah, you don't love versus Atlanta, but at least it's at home. Yeah, no, I think he's a top 10 rank. It'll be in my top 10 this week. Yep.
Now, Charlie Morton and Kyle Wright both got to go to Colorado to end next week. That kind of stinks. But, you know, Kyle Wright's been great. I still think with the Colorado start, I'm going to go maybe Morton 4, Wright 3. I just Colorado always just.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually thinking lower because just Colorado crushes. I don't mind the at Arizona part for Wright. I'm gonna go 2s. I just Colorado crushes and runs are being scored, runs are picking up. So I'm being a little more, a little less liberal, a little more conservative, as at least in my ranking, not necessarily my voting. All right, I didn't say that, but anyway.
Well, I speaking of Colorado, you know who's on my S list, so to speak, right now is Chris Bryant. What the heck, man? Just returned and now he's back on the IL again. I never drafted Chris Bryant. Then he signed with the Rockies, and I grabbed him.
And we had
a few spots. So.
And few people had FOMO, you know, when he first got traded for not picking him. And then I know one guy that did another league just that was me, just so I could draft Chris Bryant. Mm-hmm. I think it was the best ball. But I wanted to make sure I got a piece of Chris Bryant. So I think I added another best ball. Yeah. And you know, we talk about, you know, should we drop Mitch Haniger? I mean, you could have that question, that conversation about Bryant. It's Colorado. How can you drop him right now without knowing a little more information?
Yeah, probably not a drop for me yet, but man, it's so frustrating because so ready to get him back to help my outfield and
whatnot. Yeah, third base too, right? I had him in an Otno league. I need a third baseman, and it didn't work out. But anyway,
Tyler Wells for Baltimore. I want no part of Boston, and I want no part of Tyler Wells. So that's a 0.
Yeah, I was on him and he let me down. So I'm going to go, I know about no part. I'm going to go, you know what? You know, I am going to go 0. I need to adjust my expectations and I'm going to go 0.
That's assuming he hasn't been all that bad in terms of run prevention, but that just feels like playing with fire. Rich Hill. Now, I actually think. Now they're kind of on a set like tandem situation that Tanner Houck's the guy I'd rather have for this because he's been piggybacking Hill, right? Like pretty much every time out.
Yeah, but Hill's been going 5. Hmm. So, I mean, I prefer Hill. I mean, this, especially in these outings, Baltimore and Oakland. But, you know, if there's nothing wrong with picking up Houck if you don't like anybody else. But Hill has been going 5 innings, at least 5. I mean,
good point.
I kind of like Hill now. I was watching Ryan Yarbrough pitch last night. I don't know how one would do it, but I think you get Rich Hill and Ryan Yarbrough to play like a baseball game of horse with like, all right, two seamer, you know, from a sidearm motion landing low and outside. And then try to, you know, they each call the pitch for, cause I swear they both make up pitches as they go along.
They are pretty crazy.
It looks like a dad throwing batting practice to his kid and kind of, you know, pissing him off by throwing a curveball. I know it's better than my dad's curveball, whatever, but or a dad's curveball, but that's what a guy looks like. He's up there flipping the ball up to home and batters are flailing away. Anyway,
yeah, he's got that dad strength. Now, I gave Rich Hill a 3. Would you go higher than that? Or
I'm no? going a 2. I'm two. Going a 2. Okay. Yeah.
And again, I kind of like Houck.
To me, the matchups, Baltimore and Oakland.
Yeah.
Love that.
Now, next up, we have, and I don't know if I've ever seen this, but looks like the Cubs actually have 3 2-star pitchers next week because they have a doubleheader Monday and then a doubleheader Saturday. So Looks like Marcus Stroman, Drew Smiley, and Kyle Hendricks. I don't know if I can give anybody but Stroman higher than a one here. I mean, Kyle Hendricks has been a disaster. Versus Milwaukee, versus St. Louis. I guess I'll give Stroman a two, Smiley a one, and Hendricks a zero.
Wow, who would have thought that? I mean, I'm kind of agree. But, you know, shouldn't we be saying four for Hendricks? You know? But
I mean, in years past.
Sure. Yeah, you know? But it's just not happening. I still have Hendricks ranked in the – I feel like giving a two to – I'm going to give – you know, officially, I'm going to give a two to all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I just – I can't – I don't want to get too. What have you done for me lately? I'm going to go two for them all.
Maybe I'm too much maybe a prisoner of the moment.
Maybe that could be aggressive on Smiley, but I still think there's something there.
The fact that Hendricks couldn't make his layup against the Reds
scary. That is scary. Yeah.
And speaking of the Reds, Luis Castillo's got a tough assignment to start the week at Boston. Then he's versus Washington. He looked pretty good the other day, kind of like mid-start. He finally seemed to kind of find his rhythm, but still pretty scary. So I think I'm actually going to give Luis Castillo a three.
I'm going to go four. Okay. I still think good pitchers pitch pretty well against good teams. And I mean, the offense is like Boston, and when Toronto's on, they do hit good pitching. But I think overall, I still like the good pitchers. And maybe someone's saying, well, Castillo's not that good a pitcher. And you could have a point. But I'm still going to go four.
I think that's fair. I just still coming off the injury. Just not quite willing to go.
Yeah, that high, but I can see it. I can see it for sure.
Now, maybe a guy who you think about picking up in leagues where he was dropped, Cal Quantrill, because he's versus Kansas City, then at Baltimore. Man, that's pretty nice. I know the K's have been low, but I think I'll have Quantrill on a list or two this weekend. I'm going to give him a three.
Yeah, I'm surprised if he was dropped, but maybe in 12 teamers I could see it. I'm going to go three as well, and it's because he's better. He's more strikeouts away from a four. But
Herman Marquez got to be a zero with two home starts.
Man, that's he's a bummer. But yes,
you know, James opened my eyes to something. I was talking to him about my main event team that I drafted in the spring, and I ended up with Marquez there, and I was just like lamenting, like, I just kind of had to take him. He kept falling. And James made the good point that no, you didn't have to take him. But, and I think moving forward, I'm going to take a page out of James's book and kind of eliminate parts of the player pool, because, you know, and your research has shown it too. Those guys who slip past ADP aren't actually values a lot of the time. So
what? They the winners, the champions, they are, but for the rest of the league, they're not. And of course, there's a cause and effect there. But the point being, pay, especially if you've got a little time to take a deeper look. Don't always assume that if ADP is 40 and you're at pick 61, that the guy's worth it. You know, do a little take, even if it's in your minute at a live draft. See what you might be missing.
So for the Chicago White Sox, Michael Kopech is going to be at Toronto, then at Tampa Bay next week. Hard for me to really grade him here. I'm thinking four, because even though Toronto isn't really rolling on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, they're ready.
They're pretty scary, yeah. So yep. I'm going to give him a four. Do you think that's too high, too low?
My preliminary has him of a five. But I'm sort of with you that I'm going to go four.
Okay. And then Ronnie Garcia for the Detroit Tigers. I can't see it. I guess maybe Tariq Skubal, too. I guess they have a doubleheader on Tuesday. So Tariq Skubal, I think, is getting into that five mix. Maybe a four. I'm stick four, but Ronnie Garcia is zero.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Garcia is a zero. Let's see about Skubal. I mean, I think he is approaching that five mix. And if it wasn't for on the road against the Yankees, he you know, there's certain matchups he would deserve it, but I'm going to go four.
Yeah, at NYY kind of takes him out of the five mix.
Yeah.
Framber Valdez at Oakland, at KC. That's what you want, as the kids say. So Valdez, I think I'm going to give a five.
I have him in the four range. I'm going to say four, but I'm not going to try to talk you out of a five.
I hear you. That's probably a more level-headed approach, but I will get him in the five mix. Now, Jonathan Heasley, I don't even know if he's going to start that game because he issued 6 free passes. He has a 7-13 K to walk. Yes, 7 strikeouts against 13 walks and 13 in the third inning. So no clue if he even starts, but zero either way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is who else is available?
Yeah, I guess
to make those starts. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked about Jackson Coart for a while and to see who else might be available, but I'm with you on a zero.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they turn elsewhere because I just don't see the point. But no 2-star starters for the Angels, but then for the Dodgers, Walker Buehler and Julio Urias. I know Buehler's strikeouts haven't been all that great, but still a 5 for me, and same with Urias.
Yep. They're both. If they're not top 10, they're very, very close.
I enjoyed watching that battle between Urias and Juan Soto the other day.
I think I missed that one. Fun. I missed that.
They seem to be having fun with each other.
Okay, so. I missed that. I've seen a lot of fun. I mean, I'm enjoying baseball right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's at a good spot. I mean, Jesus Aguiar was having some fun. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying watching the games now. I mean, not that I didn't in April, but I'm not saying that should have been out, or I'm not saying that I can't believe that one went out. I'm kind of enjoying the games, but anyway.
So Pablo Lopez, he's going to be at Colorado then versus San Francisco. I was wondering if maybe the Colorado knocks him down a peg, but he's just pitched so well. So I'm going to actually keep him in the 5 mix here.
I can't do that. I'm going to go 4. I can't keep him in the 5.
Cody Poteet is 0, but yeah, I'm going to go Pablo Lopez 5, but I got you down as a 4.
Yeah.
Aaron Ashby, who I think in the shallower leagues will be a hot pickup this week. And then Eric Lauer has been great. So at the Cubs and then versus San Diego, I think Lauer is a 5, and I think I'm going to give – I'm going to give Lauer a 4 and Ashby a 3.
Yeah, I have Lauer ranked as a 5, so I'm – but it's like number 17. It's like 2-3 spots away, and I haven't made some adjustments yet. So I'm gonna match you on that. I'm going to go Lauer 4 and Ashby 3.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Ashby can do with a little bit of runway here in the rotation. You hate to see that with Freddie Peralta, but –
Oh, for sure.
Insteps Aaron Ashby. Dylan Bundy, I mentioned, I think it was James who picked him up, and you, correct me if I'm mistaken, but you kind of alluded to, liking him as a pickup. At Detroit, at Toronto, Joe Ryan, I'm going to give a 4, but Dylan Bundy, I'm going to give a 3.
I want to say a 2 to Bundy. I need to double check on the home. Detroit has no power. I'm going to go 3 on Bundy. What did you, Ryan, was it, you said a 4?
I said a 4. Yep.
Yeah. He's back. He's okay. Health wise. Didn't he have a bit of an issue? Maybe, I guess he's being back to okay.
Good question.
I'm going to go,
I guess 4. He's on the COVID list still.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right.
Yeah.
So assuming he's back, et cetera, I'm going to go 4 as well.
Nice. And David Peterson for the Mets is a guy I picked up in my first come first serve league, and I'll probably look to be adding some more shares this weekend because, he does get the road start against the Dodgers to end the week. He's versus Washington to start. Trevor Williams is going to be at 0, but I'm pretty interested in Peterson, so I don't think I could put him quite on the Rich Hill level, but I'm going to give David Peterson a 2, Trevor Williams a 0.
I'm with you. It's the at LAD. He's like, I could give him a 3 if it was a different matchup, but I'm with you. I'm going to go with a 2.
Jordan Montgomery still looking for that elusive first win. That's kind of silly given how good the Yankees are, but got a tough matchup to start anyway versus the Angels, and the Angels against lefties kind of scare you, but then he's versus Detroit, and I'm going to give him a 4, and he's a high-end 4 for me, Jordan Montgomery.
I've got him in the 5 range, so I'm going to say 5 because I have to drop him a lot to get him out of the 5 range from where I have him ranked. And I am admittedly aggressive on him So it's the baseline is pretty high. I'm gonna give him a five.
I've been loving the ride with Paul Blackburn so far, but do you think it could be Paul Blackburn regression week coming up versus Houston versus Boston? At least they're both at the Coliseum, but I'm going to give Blackburn a four just because of the matchups, but he's pitched like a five.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm being technical and goofy here, but you know, for me, I don't know that it's regression. I think he's just facing good teams and the numbers could get worse naturally. For me, the regression has to do with the luck and because he's incurred some good luck. You know, that is independent of the team. But will the ERA start to go in the other, in, you know, south, if you will? Yeah. I got him as a three.
As a three, okay. Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to sit a guy like that, but maybe in certain situations, you take what you've banked so far and you hope.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Sit him down, you don't risk giving a lot of it back.
I can see it.
Kyle Gibson versus San Francisco versus the Angels. San Francisco just, it doesn't look like a daunting lineup on paper, but they somehow score runs. So
that's what they do.
Gibson's been okay, but a two? Is that too high?
I think it might be 1-2. I'm going with a one. Okay, I'm gonna go but one, I mean, I can, you know, I think a two is justified, but
when it came out of my mouth, it felt,
yeah,
it felt too high. So
yeah, I'm gonna go. I mean, Nola needs defense. They all need defense, but so does Gibson, even more so than Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. He's just lost on that team with the defense. Have you seen some of that stuff?
Not really.
What Philly's doing?
I just know the Philly defense is terrible.
I mean, it's sometimes we say it because on, you know, Castellanos and Schwarber, they're not just the two of them, but the team, they're just playing terrible defense. It's so ugly. Anyway. Hmm.
Well, that's what they knew they were getting when they brought in Schwarber and Castellanos. Yeah. Zach Thompson's going to be a zero. No real need to spend time there.
Right.
And again, Ronzi Contreras next weekend versus the Arizona Diamondbacks at home. Nick Martinez at St. Louis, at Milwaukee. He's been pretty solid. Nothing spectacular, but in the whips, the whip is hurting you right now. 1.36, but at St. Louis, at Milwaukee, I'm going to give him a one. Is that too low? I'm giving him a two.
He may drop into the one range when I do my the real update, but I'm going to start with a two. I think San Diego does a decent job of, you know, kind of like Tampa, not hanging their pitchers out to dry. So I feel somewhat safe that he won't get completely crushed, but sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's just it happens so quick you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Bob Melvin's a really good manager, by the way.
Yeah.
And he does know how to put his guys in their best position. George Kirby at Baltimore, at Texas. That's a great one. I actually think I'm going to go four. My initial inclination was three, but man, if you got him, you probably spent up for him, and no way you're sitting him for this two step.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say three, but I'm not sitting him, especially because he's gone through a rough patch against a couple of good teams. So I don't think you can buy low on George Kirby right now. But you know, I will go three. Have him in the XFL, run him out there every week. This is my retribution week, I hope.
I got to admit, Logan Webb's been kind of disappointing for me.
Yeah.
Strikeouts are down 40 Ks and 53 in the third innings. So I think in light of his performance so far, he's kind of lost five status for me. So he's going to be a four, Logan Webb.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I've been pretty vocal about waiting on pitching, and he was one of my targets as my SP1.
Same.
And it didn't work. You know, I also would get Kevin Gausman a lot. Sometimes they get them both together. So, you know, it's not the strategy. It's who you landed on. If you landed on Kevin Gausman, you're a genius. If you landed on Logan Webb, you're an idiot, right?
Yeah, true. Well, hopefully maybe if you missed on Webb, you got a Manoa or a Verlander
You can't get an L big enough for me for Verlander. I'll wear that.
Well, hey, history did it influence your decision there? Yeah, history told us that it wasn't going to happen, but Verlander has bucked history this year. Jacob Junis, by the way, for San Francisco, he's been pitching pretty well. At Philadelphia, though, at Miami, I could see myself maybe picking up Junis this week. I'll give him a two.
I agree.
Yeah, that's probably right. Jake Woodford we have penciled in. I guess he was called up yesterday. So, Jordan Hicks to the IL. So,
yeah,
there is an opening there. They already have Liberatore in there. Woodford. Let me just look at his like game log.
Right, I'd be curious to know.
Yeah,
are we expecting 3, 4, 5? What are we expecting?
Well, it looks like his latest outing was May 24th. Against Iowa down in the majors or in the minors. He only went 3 innings there. May 18th, he only went 3 innings in the minors. At the big league level, he hasn't gone more than 3 1/3 innings. So, yeah, he's going to be a zero.
He's a zero, yeah.
Kind of a glorified bullpen game. Jake Woodford, zero. And then Adam Wainwright, two for that team. I think he's probably a four, just not in that five mix. But.
Yeah, I'll go there. I thought it was really cool where, you know, not the, wins are wins, what, you know, silly stat. I don't care. I think it was really cool that when he and Yadi set the most number of wins as a battery, I thought that was kind of cool.
You know, I respect history, and so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Begrudgingly, as a Reds fan, I'll admit it.
All right.
Drew Rasmussen. Ryan Yarbrough. I actually saw a little bit of that Yarbrough start the other day. That was a pitcher's duel. That was him and like Nestor Cortez, right?
Yeah, that was
crazy. They're both dialing in. And Rasmussen's been one of the great found money pieces on the pitching
side. I guess
you paid up a little bit for him.
I don't say found. I mean, I happen to be one. And then I think that he had his proponents in draft season
for sure, but he still was relatively cheap at the end.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to give him a four, and Ryan Yarbrough, given the matchups, I mean, the White Sox are pretty brutal right now. I'm going to give Yarbrough a two. I think.
I get him in that borderline. I'm going to match you. Yeah. White Sox are not daunting, and it's in Trop. So yeah, two's good.
Martin Perez feels like one of the biggest traps out there right now, but he just keeps getting it done. I don't know how, but am I kind of like weighing the long track record too heavily? Like when do you kind of have to pivot a little bit on a guy like Martin Perez?
I wrote about him in this week's Z Files, which is not up as we speak, but hopefully will be up fairly soon. The focus of the piece was pitchers whose baseline I'm adjusting specifically for the rest of season rankings. And where I landed with Martin Perez was, all right, zero homers in over 50 innings now, fluke, et cetera. But I think once his homers settle, they may be a little bit – he may be benefiting from the ball. So I think, to me, the adjustment was keep everything else the same, drop the homer expectation a bit, and let the everything else play out. The thing about that, though, is you got to drop the homer expectation for, you know, a number of pitchers. But even so, that's what I ended up doing. So I do agree that it is a complete and utter trap. But, you know, we've thought that for three weeks now. Mm. And if you kept with them. You know, as I'm writing this piece, I waited to write him up last night because he was pitching. And he's like, oh, geez, he's going to crater right now. I'm going to have to delete this paragraph, whatever. No, he didn't. So.
Just devil magic, I guess.
He's, you know what it is with me now is at the point where, whereas before he's an unequivocal zero, I'm not giving him a zero right now.
Yeah, I penciled him for a one. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm going to go two.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of where I'm at with before I would just laugh it off. I'm giving him a two because if he isn't giving up homers, then he can be effective. Hmm.
Yes, well put. Now, Glenn Otto actually had a pretty good outing his last time out against the Angels. Struck out 7, only allowed 1 earned run over 5. And I know Glenn Otto is kind of an Alex Chamberlain guy, or at least he popped up favorably on his pitch leaderboard at some point. I can't really trust him, so I could see maybe picking him up, but I don't know about starting him for this. So I'm going to actually go 0 on Otto.
I'm going to go with a 1. Yeah. I'm not loving it.
I'm going to go 1-2.
I'm going to go with a 1. I can see there are scenarios where I would use it.
Yeah, I could see you maybe in like my a 15-teamer being desperate enough.
Tampa doesn't scare me. They're striking out a ton. Excuse me, they're striking out a ton.
Yeah. Glad to see a Rosarena picking it up a little bit. But yeah, the Rays aren't clicking on all cylinders. Gausman's a 5.
Oh, yeah.
That marked. Again, these, I didn't mention it on this show yet, but these show notes will be included with the podcast. So all of our grades will be right there if you want to just look at them there and confirm. And then Eric Fetty and Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin of the 1-7 record and 6.30 ERA. Corbin's a 0. Fetty at the Mets at Cincinnati may be worth consideration in a deep league. Maybe I'll give Fetty a 1, but Patrick Corbin's totally, unusable at this point.
I almost want to say 2 for Fetty. I need to check the strikeouts because in my mind he's going to like a sneaky strikeout pitcher. All right, I'm going to say 1, but it may be a 2 on the rankings. We'll see.
Well, busy week next week. Good luck in your fantasy baseball league. Still a long way to go, though. So, keep grinding. We'll review these 2-star pitcher scores for the week of May 30th, 2022. Zach Gallen, a 5. Charlie Morton, I say 4, Todd 2. Kyle Wright, I say 3, Todd 2. Tyler Wells, 0. Rich Hill, I say 3, Todd 2. Marcus Stroman, 2. Drew Smiley, I say 1, Todd 2. Kyle Hendricks, I got him as a 0. Todd says 2. Luis Castillo, I say 3, Todd 4. Cal Quantrill, 3. Herman Marquez, 0. Michael Kopech, 4. Tarik Skubal, 4. Ronnie Garcia, 0. Framber Valdez, I say 5, Todd 4. Jonathan Heasley, 0. Walker Buehler, 5. Julio Urias, 5. Pablo Lopez, I say 5, Todd 4. Cody Poteet, 0. Eric Lauer, 4. Aaron Ashby, 3. Joe Ryan, 4. Dylan Bundy, I say 3, Todd 2. David Peterson, 2. Trevor Williams, 0. Jordan Montgomery, I say 4, Todd 5. Paul Blackburn, I say 4, Todd 3. Kyle Gibson, 1. Zach Thompson, 0. Nick Martinez, I say 1, Todd 2. George Kirby, I say 4, Todd 3. Logan Webb, 4. Jake Junis, 2. Jake Woodford, 0. Adam Wainwright, 4. Drew Rasmussen, 4. Ryan Yarbrough, 2. Martin Perez, I say 1, Todd 2. Glenn Otto, 1. Kevin Gausman, 5. Patrick Corbin, 0. And finally, Eric Fetty, 1. Long list this week and busy, as you said. Anything else on your mind today, Todd, before we sign off?
Not that I think I may have meant to say 4 for Hill. I was probably doing that 2 and 4 reverse in my head.
Oh, I gotcha. I can change that for the show notes.
Yeah, 4 for Hill. But anyway, no, I just wonder. I didn't get the URL, but if you follow me on Twitter, check out the Memorial Day mock that we are doing. We've got Peter Kreutzer, Howard Bender's in it, Perry Van Hook, Tim McLeod, Joe Sheehan, Andrew Lamont, Shelley Verstrate. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep, that's how it's
all right. Just I should have first practiced
rate,
that.
First rate, verse rate.
Talk about that's perfect. Yep. Justin Mason, Scott Pianowski, and Steve Gardner are doing this mock with us, and it's kind of fun. So
it's an all-star crew, yeah.
Well, Tout War, pick any 12 from Tout, and it'll be all-star crew. We're not playing it out, but check it out. I'll link it on my Twitter page and. I think we're going to have Joe Sheehan on the show tomorrow, Sunday, to talk about. And Jeff and I are going to have Emmy award-winning Alex Fast on our show Sunday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw you won an Emmy. That's so awesome. That dude is uber talented. Well,
we gave him the rub, right?
Oh, yeah. We had him on
our MLB show. When he was nothing, when he was a nobody. So, I mean, we gave him the rub on the Saturday MLB Network regular show.
Yeah.
So I think Jeff and I need a bit of a rub from Alex on Sunday.
It's time for him to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look up at the lights to use a wrestling term.
Anyway.
All right, Todd. Well, great talking to you, man, and thank you all for being with us. Enjoy the long weekend, and good luck next week. Talk to you soon on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.